So appreciated your ministry, your input, and look forward to what God's going to say through you now.
Fantastic. Thanks, Andy. Good morning, everybody. So, just want to read a couple of verses from Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And in the few minutes I've got with you this morning, I just want to explore and expand a little bit that little phrase, keep in step with the Spirit. In many ways, that's been a key verse for me this year. It's framed and marked my own discipleship journey. And I think what we'd all agree is we would love to see in our churches a culture of keeping in step with the Spirit, where everybody is learning how to do that. Everybody is on that journey day by day, wherever they are, of keeping in step with the Spirit. And in fact, a kingdom prophetic lifestyle is all about following the Holy Spirit, isn't it? When we get down to the nitty-gritty, following the Holy Spirit. But we have to go there first as leaders. We have to model it and multiply this way of living, which is really challenging. And I've learned the hard way that it's not enough just giving people information. It's not enough just giving people good teaching. To be an effective leader and to see a prophetic culture grow up around me, I need to intentionally multiply myself into those around me, into people through discipleship. It's that challenge as leaders to be a role model, isn't it? And so as we just think about keeping in step with the Spirit, learning to walk with the Spirit and what that might look like, I want us to look at that through that perspective of multiplication, imitation. You know, we may not feel we're particularly qualified in this, but being a role model is about living a life where people have access, where people can see you trying to work this out in your own life, and they can come and imitate you. It's not about being a perfect example, but a living one and embodying the culture that you want to see. So, I want to share something of my journey. And, you know, I've certainly talked over the last couple of days about mindsets. And it's so important that we have a biblical mindset regarding the Holy Spirit. And I found that even in, you know, mature, biblical, charismatic churches, there's still plenty of misconceptions about the Holy Spirit. A lot of these are around trust. You know, I'm really surprised people who, you know, they're mature Christians, and I get into a conversation with them about the Holy Spirit, and it becomes apparent that fundamentally there's issues around trust. You know, how much can they really trust the Holy Spirit? Because if you're going to keep in step with him, we have to trust him, don't we? So let's start by reminding ourselves, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God's very own life, shared with us and residing within us. He's the indwelling, empowering presence of God. He's sent to be with us forever. He's the other friend that Jesus talked about. He's the very Spirit of God. And Jesus tells us that he's the Spirit of revelation. So as we keep in step with him, we will be tuned in to the very voice of God. And he is enough. The Holy Spirit is enough. He's enough for every circumstance. D- Do you think the Father would send us somebody who wasn't quite enough? He is enough. Let's pause for a moment. Where in your life currently do you really need to hear that the Holy Spirit is enough? That's who he is. Holy Spirit, just come right now. Just refresh our way of thinking so that we know that no matter what we're going through, you are enough. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's the Father's plan A for the world. He is enough. And we can't have too much of the Holy Spirit. We can have too much of lots of things. You know, we've just had Christmas, haven't we? We know that we can have too much food. We can have too much wine. We can even have too much water. You know, if you drink too much water, it will kill you. But we can never have too much of the Holy Spirit. There are no toxic levels of his presence. And it's a challenging thought, isn't it? How often am I satisfied with a certain level of the Holy Spirit's presence in my life? You know, this much is comfortable. You know, half an hour of great worship led by the band, you know, that much is comfortable. But I'm not sure how much more I want. Are we really pressing in for the so much more of his presence? Or are we satisfied with a certain level? My really good friend, Kerry Harris, from Ipswich, who leads Burlington Baptist in Ipswich, had a conversation with her a while ago, and she was describing this little habit, this little discipline she's got into. So at the end of every devotional, at the end of every personal prayer time, at the end of every encounter with God, she asks the question, Holy Spirit, have you finished? I find that really challenging. You know, I've done my bit of prayer, I've done my bit of worship, I've engaged with his presence, I'm going to go and do the washing, I'm going to go and empty the dishwasher, whatever, get on with my day. Holy Spirit, have you finished? Or is there more? Is there more? And as we get to know him, we can relate to him as a real living person. And if there's anything that really defines my spiritual journey of the last, you know, 10, 12 years, it's been about friendship with the Holy Spirit. It's had a profound impact on my work, on my walk with God. And I guess it started about 12 years ago. I'd got hold of that Benny Hinn book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. I don't know if many of you have read it. And in the first chapter, Benny Hinn describes going to this Catherine Coleman meeting. And in this meeting, she's talking about the Spirit as if he is a real living person. And Benny Hinn goes on to describe this incredible encounter he had with the Spirit and this dramatic revelation that you can have this close, intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit and get to know him as your lifelong companion, a real deep friendship with the Holy Spirit. And reading that book sparked such a hunger in me. I've got to get to know him. Got to get to know this Holy Spirit, this member of the Trinity. I've got to find out who he is. And, you know, the church I was brought up in, we had lots of teaching about Jesus. We had a little bit of teaching about the Father. We had no teaching about the Holy Spirit. He was kind of referred to in a very generic, vague sense. But there was never any encouragement to get to know him. But I determined on that day when I read that Benny Hinn book, I was going to pursue this person. I was going to pursue friendship with him. And one of the first things I did, I printed off a list of references to the Holy Spirit. I think there's over 500 of them, Old Testament, New Testament, because I thought, if I'm going to get to know this person, I want to know the words that are used to describe him, the verbs, the adjectives. So I started with every single biblical reference to him and just pored over them in my pursuit of friendship with him. And it's something that I've continued to go after. And I've learned, wow, he's real. He's a friend. He's a person, and you can get to know him. I'm still on that journey. A few months ago, I was reading the Francis Chan book about the Holy Spirit, and I just got into it. It's a really good book. And Francis Chan was quoting that little phrase from 1 Thessalonians 5:19, "Do not quench the Spirit." And I don't know if you've ever had the experience when you're reading something, perhaps something in the Bible or a book, and you literally cannot get past a word or a phrase. It was like that for me. You know, I'd read that phrase, teach that phrase, meditated on that phrase many, many times, but that day, "Do not quench the Spirit," I couldn't get past it. God really got my attention. And I just sat there for ages thinking, you know, I'm a charismatic Christian, you know, I love the Holy Spirit, but how do I actually quench the Holy Spirit in my life? And I looked up in a thesaurus what the word quench means. It means lessen, deaden, decrease, lower, reduce, diminish, curb, check, still, damp, etc., etc. And I got my journal out, and I wrote a list in my journal of all the ways that I quench the Spirit. And I'm going to share this list with you. So, by ignoring his quiet prompts and whispers. Yeah, I pay attention to some of them, but I know there's some that I ignore. By forgetting about him. You know, how many times do I get to the end of the day and think, I haven't really spent much time engaging with the Holy Spirit today? By not listening to his counsel. By keeping him at a distance. By rushing around so much. By leaning on my own understanding rather than relying on his. By seeking to maintain control. By remaining in a state of despondency or negativity rather than receiving his joy. By not seeking his comfort. By allowing disappointment, grief, and pain to deaden my spiritual senses. By being comfortable and not taking risks. By not eagerly desiring his gifts. And by focusing more on the material world than the spiritual world. So I wrote that list in my journal. It's quite a sober moment. But then I felt the Lord lead me to write the opposite. And just before I read out the opposite of that first list, I want to read how the Message translates Galatians 5:25. This is how the Message expresses this truth. "Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives." We are called to keep in step with the Spirit and not to quench him. So what does it look like to work out that in every detail of our lives? So I turn my first list into a prayer. "Holy Spirit, I pay attention to your prompts and whispers. Holy Spirit, I remember you throughout the day. Holy Spirit, I listen to your counsel. Holy Spirit, I want you really, really close to me. Holy Spirit, I slow down enough to meet with you. I trust your wisdom and understanding above my own. I let go of control. I welcome your lordship over every part of my life. I receive your joy. I actively seek your comfort. I eagerly desire your gifts. Let's listen again to these words of Jesus in John 14. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, well, the Greek word is parakletos, isn't it? It's a wonderful word. It's so multifaceted. Friend, helper, counselor, advocate, comforter, that he may remain with you forever. Actually, an accurate translation of parakletos is one who is called or summoned to your side. And when Jesus introduces the parakletos, the disciples are trying to get their heads around the fact that Jesus is leaving them. Now, he's promised them that he's not going to leave them as orphans. In fact, he says to them, it's actually better for you that I leave. If I don't leave, the friend won't come. But if I go, I will send him to you. This parakletos, this friend. Jesus is saying to his disciples, whose hearts must have been breaking at that point, Jesus is leaving us. But Jesus is saying, it's actually better if I go, because then I can send the friend to you. Better than Jesus? Better than living 24/7 with the Son of God, he must be some friend. What would happen if we really took Jesus' words, if we took Jesus at his word and developed a truly heavenly mindset regarding the Holy Spirit? What does a truly Pentecost mindset look like? Not Pentecostal, what does a Pentecost mindset look like? Because at Pentecost, the Lord poured out his Spirit on the waiting followers of Jesus and everything changed. The Spirit of Almighty God was now given to every disciple of Jesus. And a central reality of the new covenant that we live under is that God has poured out his Spirit on his covenant people. It's interesting how the Bible describes this, because when we really dig into biblical truth about the Holy Spirit, we notice that the Bible doesn't say the Holy Spirit is sprinkled upon us or dripped upon us. It says he's poured out upon us. He's poured out. We are baptized in the Spirit. We're fully immersed in him. God has poured out the very essence of who he is upon us. That's amazing, isn't it? He's not given us something lightweight, superfluous. He's given us the central core of his being. He's given us his best. The Holy of Holies now dwells in the inmost being of every believer. Each of us is filled to overflowing with the very essence of the Godhead. That's a Pentecost mindset. This is the kind of thinking we want in our churches, isn't it? Embedded so it becomes transformational. And a way of thinking that I'm trying to cultivate in my own life is, he's all I've got, but he's all I need. He's all I've got, but he's all I need. And a prayer that I pray regularly is, I can't do this, but you can. All we're called to be is an empty vessel that the Holy Spirit can flow out of. That's all we're called to be. So that's a Pentecost mindset. What does a Pentecost practice look like? What does it really look like for us to keep in step with the Spirit? Being friends with the Spirit is about walking with him daily. It's about practicing his presence. practicing the immediacy of God's presence throughout the day, learning how to abide in him all day long, walking with him. I came across this great quote from Bill Johnson a while ago. He says, "I try to live in such a way that nothing ever gets bigger than my awareness of God's presence." That's what we want to practice, isn't it? That's how we want to live our lives. Simple but hard. It's a battleground, isn't it? But if we think of Jesus, if we think of how Jesus lived his life, he was constantly aware of God's presence. He said, "I only ever do what I see the Father doing." That's the very essence of a kingdom prophetic lifestyle, isn't it? Being so aware of the presence of God that you only ever do what you see him doing. And as I coach people around the world in hearing God and prophecy, the key challenge that so many of us face and articulate is that, yeah, I can hear God in my thin place. I can hear God in that quiet room at home. I can hear him in the church worship service. I can hear him when I go for a walk across my favourite bit of countryside. But how do I stay tuned into him throughout the day? How do I become so aware of his presence minute by minute, hour by hour? How do we do that? You know, when life is happening, we can be aware of his presence and hear his voice as we're sat with our Bible in the morning. But, you know, 2 hours later when we're in the middle of Tesco's or in the middle of a business meeting or whatever, how do we practice that presence? And how do we model it as leaders? Now, there are all sorts of spiritual disciplines that can help us do this and that can help the people in our churches. I'm just going to mention a few that I've been exploring and found useful over the last while. It does start with the right mindset, doesn't it? We keep coming back to this thing about mindsets and the language that we use to shape culture. On Monday night, I read out my covenant statement. And as we're thinking about metanoia, as we're thinking about changing the way we think, this is the kind of thinking we want to grow in our own lives and in our churches. Holy Spirit, thank you for your friendship. You are the genius. I mean, he is the complete genius. He's got the answer to every situation we find ourselves in. Your wisdom and understanding far outweigh my own. You're completely trustworthy and faithful. You are committed to making me more like Jesus. You're the very essence of truth and joy and peace. I welcome your radiant presence and holy fire. Help me to keep in step with you today. That's a great thing to be praying over ourselves every day, isn't it, as we seek metanoia around the Holy Spirit. We have to intentionally cultivate that way of thinking until it starts to happen naturally. So mindset. Second thing I'd mention is a lifestyle of asking him questions. Having this ongoing conversation with the Holy Spirit throughout the day. Talking to him, listening to him. Not just about the deep, profound spiritual things, but about the everyday things as well. Have you ever asked the Holy Spirit what kind of music he likes? I have. I'm not going to tell you what the answer was. Learning to talk to him like a real person. And the more we talk to him, the more we ask him questions, the more we listen for the answers, the more we'll develop a sensitivity to his presence and voice. It's about getting into the habit of regularly inquiring of the Lord. And, you know, I try to get into the practice of just asking the Holy Spirit, okay, what's going on here? What are you doing? Where are you at work? Particularly, you know, say in a Sunday morning's worship service, I'll just say, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? Show me what you're doing. So asking him questions. Something else I'll mention, and this is something I've really been stepping into and trying to put into practice just in recent months, but having a really simple almost like a breathing prayer that I can pray throughout the day. It has to be simple, doesn't it? It has to be something you can just do in the moment. But what I'm praying throughout my days is simply thank you for now and thank you that you're here. I can literally do it as I breathe in and out. Thank you for now. You know, Paul was talking, wasn't he, about being present in the moment, learning to be fully present. Thank you for now, and thank you that you're here. And I'm finding as I just pray that prayer throughout the day, it just helps me stay close, helps me maintain that sense of his presence. It helps me really obey 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 that says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. And then the next thing I'm going to mention, and this is a journey that I've very much been on this year, and we've been doing this in our missional community. But the thing about relationship with the Holy Spirit, there's two sides of the coin, isn't there? On the one hand, he is everything to us. He's our paracletos, he's our friend, he's our comforter, etc., etc. But the other side of the coin of a relationship with the Holy Spirit is actually about surrender and choosing to follow him and choosing to lay everything down so that we can keep in step with him. And the way that we've been exploring that this year in my missional community is by choosing to start each day by asking the Holy Spirit, what can I do for you today? What can I do for you today? I know you're going to do lots of great stuff for me today, but what can I do for you today? And we actually created a little booklet, Keeping in Step, and we use this in the 40 days leading up to Pentecost this year. So everybody in our community, we had this booklet, and it's just got a simple verse and meditation about the Holy Spirit, and then after that, there's that question, Holy Spirit, what can I do for you today? And a bit of space. And we just all started every day by asking the Holy Spirit that question and writing down the answer. Because we want to be intentional about this. We want to develop the habit of keeping in step with him. So, I want to go into a time of ministry. And I read those verses at the beginning about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I mean, we know how the rest of the verse goes. And I just want to do a little bit of ministry around joy. I'm going to ask Pete and the band to come up. And, you know, the Holy Spirit, he is the Spirit of joy. And on my journey of getting to know him better, what I've learned that he always brings his atmosphere of joy with him. In fact, more and more, as I regularly encounter him, I encounter him as the Spirit of joy. Joy is incredibly prophetic. I found this quote on Twitter a few days ago. Joy is an act of resistance. I love that. Joy is an act of resistance. But there's a real battle for joy. There's a real battle for joy. I think particularly in British culture, where we have a tendency for cynicism, negativity, a real critical spirit. It's different in different parts of the world. But there's a real battle for joy. And I think to be a prophetic people, there's something about us really going after joy. Sometimes receiving his joy is an act of the will. I'll be really honest with you. I bumped into Steve, the drummer, this morning, and I don't think either of us had slept particularly well. And we were like, oh, you know, it feels a bit of a battle for joy this morning. There are times, I know in my own life, where it almost feels easier just to sit and wallow in despondency. But we have to go after joy. That's who the Spirit is. He's the Spirit of joy. And to be a prophetic people, we should be manifesting his joy. Now, I'm not talking about being a happy, clappy Christian. I'm not saying that we don't all have lots of issues and challenges to face. I'm not minimizing clinical depression. That, you know, clinical depression has had a significant impact in my close family. I know what that's like. But I do believe that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of joy and that we can take authority over those places where the enemy has sought to steal our joy. I'd love you all to stand up if you're able to, because I'd love just to pray some stuff over us so that we become a prophetic people contending for the Holy Spirit's joy. So, Holy Spirit, you're so good. Thank you that you're here. Just, I know we've already done this so many times over the last few days, but let's just open wide our hearts, our minds, our spirits to his presence. Let our hearts cry out, more, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we honor you as the Spirit of joy today. We honor you. And as a prophetic act, we choose to receive your joy. We choose to receive your comfort. We choose to welcome your joy into our lives. Thank you that, you know, whatever's going on, we can do that. Whatever grief we're facing, whatever brokenness we're facing, we can do that. So Holy Spirit, would you come right now? Would you come and manifest who you are in your people? Would you come and minister your joy? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just keep pressing in for this. Just keep receiving. He's the comforter. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you just put your hand on the shoulder of somebody around you and just start to pray for the people around you. Pray for more joy. Pray for a prophetic joy. Pray for the Holy Spirit joy that dispels exhaustion, that dispels despondency, that dispels pain. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just let it bubble up inside you. I know there's been a lot of controversy about Holy Spirit laughter, but, you know, if you want to laugh in the Holy Spirit right now, I just release that. I just release you to do it. Come, Holy Spirit.
So we just pray for more, Lord. Thank you, Father. So just as we're in this moment, we're just conscious, we're not going to rush away just yet to one or two things. Just if you want somebody to pray with you, you haven't been prayed for yet, and you're thinking, actually, have I missed the moment? This could be the moment just to receive some prayer. And we'll do it where you stood. You know, just turn to somebody with you or just raise a hand and we'll get people to pray for you. But just to keep waiting in the Lord's presence. Just keep asking for more. Be filled with the Spirit. Continually be filled with the Spirit. Just take the opportunity now to receive. Put yourself into that place of receiving now. You're receiving. Holy Spirit wants to fill you. Lord, we want to receive all that you want to give to us in these moments now. We thank you, we praise you.
Just want to take a moment to share some of the prophetic paintings that we've been doing up at the front, and our prayer is that they will speak to you. Anna has done this painting with the verse from Jeremiah 18, the potter's hand, and the promise that Jesus has come that you may have life and have it in all its fullness. So if that speaks to you, come and grab Anna or someone else to have some prayer. I've been painting this scene. It's based on Psalm 1 about being planted by the river, being like that tree that leaves do not wither or fade. And also from Isaiah 58, the promise of your righteousness going before you, and the Lord, the glory of the Lord being your rear guard. And I just felt the Lord say his purpose for us was this thriving fruitfulness in each season, and that nothing would stop that, that he's going to guard us. I felt that was a great promise for us. And then right at the start, I painted this. I just felt this is what the Lord wanted to do. And just to encourage you to hold out your hands. If you have not received the overflowing, beautiful, lavish presence of our Lord Jesus with you, his filling, please don't leave until you have encountered that. Just hold out your hands. Be ready to receive. But I've just felt that's what he's been doing as we've been gathering. And the